advised by Dan today that these recordings under a new city ordinance, I guess, a new city ordinance must be posted. So the meeting will be recorded and posted, I guess, on our website, Dan, or?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The ordinance gives us 10 days to get it up.
Okay. So I assume it's just an audio recording, we don't have a video, do we?
There's a video. I could post the video too.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, the whole thing will be recorded and posted for on the website. Why don't we just, I think we have four board members present, Sade, Abby, Tony, and myself. So we have a quorum. It should be a pretty short meeting, mainly just an update on the rate proceeding, but why don't we start with the minutes from the last meeting. The board members have been provided with a draft of those minutes by Stephen. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes from the board members? In that case, could I have a motion to adopt the or approve the minutes from the last proceeding, from the last meeting?
I will move to adopt the minutes.
Okay, Tony moves.
Second.
Abby seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry, I'm abstaining.
Okay, right. Yeah, Sade was not at the meeting, so she will abstain. So it's 3-0 with Sade abstaining. And Roche is not yet here. Next thing is I think it's good for us, for the board members, to just, you know, have a sense of how things are proceeding with respect to the upcoming or almost here rate proceeding. I know Marcy, our hearing examiner, is here, and also our consultant, Ed Marcus. I wanted to call on Ed first because I believe Ed has a medical appointment at 3 o'clock. I'm sorry, not at 3 o'clock, I think he's under some time constraint. Is that correct, Ed?
I'm at 3:45, so I'm good to know.
Oh, okay. In any case, why don't we let you go ahead? And mainly I wanted Ed to just fill us in on where we stand with the collection of data to populate the rate model that he developed for us over the last year or so, and that we hope will be of use to all of the participants in the rate proceeding, as well as to the hearing examiner and to the board when we make our final determination. So Ed, can you give us a little report on that?
Certainly. Well, good afternoon, everyone. We are working on two tasks. One is reading all of the information that was prepared for the advance notice. And of course, that's a lot of material. But we've been trying to go through everything, and we're making good progress on that. Secondly, though, as Sunny mentioned, the department was kind enough to provide Excel worksheets that match the format that we had used in preparing the simple model. There are a few changes that they have made. They've made some additions in terms of additional lines in some of the worksheets. So we have a little bit of modification to do to the model. But that work is proceeding very well. It's actually being initially done by our subcontractor, CC Johnson and Mahotra. They've worked with us before on behalf of the board in putting the model together, and we're very pleased with their work. The current expectation is that they will hopefully have a draft to us by around the end of this week, and then we will be going through everything and double checking and make sure all the formulas are updated appropriately. And the idea is to then have an updated model that can be provided to the board that not only used down the road in terms of the decision-making process to see what the impacts would be, but also to advice of the chair to make it available to other parties if they wish to kind of do the same thing. But the idea is to have it all updated to reflect the current filing, and like I said, that's very well underway.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for first the board? Let me ask the board members, and I do want to open this part of the meeting to the other participants, the department and the advocate and any other participants who are on the call. While Ed is still on the call, about his work on the model and how we're going to be using that. So let me first ask the board members if you have any questions or comments for Ed.
Ed, this is Tony. Did you mention an ETA for work product that can be reviewed?
Yes, we are supposed to have a draft from our subcontractor at the end of this week, and then we will be going through it next week in detail to make sure that everything is functioning properly, but also to make sure that all of the figures reflect what is in the current rate filing. And we're hopeful that next week we'd be in a position to provide that to the board. But if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of reserve judgment on that a little bit just until we see the draft product and have a chance to go through it.
Very good. Thank you.
Marcy, did you have any questions for Ed?
Not really a question, just a comment that Ed, I hope you'll let me know what, it sounds like the parties are already working with you on this, but you're going to have to talk to me later about my report and what information you want the parties to present and what kind of format as part of their briefs or other submissions. But we can talk about that later.
Certainly. That sounds great. We had input from the department and from the advocate in putting the initial draft of the model together a while back. And of course, this will be an updated version with some new information, some new lines in the model to reflect additions that were made by the department. But happy to work with you.
Okay, anybody from the department or the advocate have any questions or comments for Ed?
Just one question for Ed. Do you need anything else from the department? And if you do, Ed, please let us know.
Okay, I think for the moment we're good, but we may take you up on that offer depending upon how everything looks.
Okay. No questions on behalf of the public advocate at this time.
Okay, anybody else? Yeah, thanks. And just to follow up on Marcy's question, I think you raise a good issue, Marcy, which is to the extent we can have a standard format for any rate adjustments that make it easier for you when you're writing the your report, your recommended decision. I think that would be helpful. So I think having the model in place and everybody using it, hopefully will make things operate a little more smoothly. Marcy, I'd ask you then to give us before I get to you, Stephen has been getting mentioned to me before the call that he has received a number of emails and I guess registrations. Is that correct, Stephen?
Yeah,
so maybe you could just report on what you've gotten so far from the public.
Yeah, in the last 4 or 5 days, I've gotten maybe, it's actually more than the 15 I said initially, maybe 20, 25 emails, virtually all of them saying that they oppose the rate increase because of the pandemic, and that some of them are basically just voicing their opinions to that effect. So I don't know if we should be cataloging and making those statements available somewhere on the website, maybe, or how we should handle them. Right now, I'm just noting their opinions, responding that they can, if they want to, register to participate, and sort of leaving it at that.
Well, I certainly think they should be retained in one place. Now, the question I would have for Dan, I guess, is how you think we should make sure that those are available to the board, and if they should be publicly posted.
You seem the most to me like public comment somebody might make at a hearing. I wouldn't have any objection to them being collected and added to any other public comments from when you specifically solicit them. I don't know how other people think, but that's my initial reaction. I don't know, Marcy, have you run into that before?
What I would do is just simply note that, you know, in the course of the proceeding, X number of people expressed opposition to the requested rates. I wouldn't go into any more detail. It's just noting that it was done. In terms of whether to maintain them, that, you know, that's your decision as a board. But Stephen has passed on those people who have indicated an actual interest in participation. I've added them to the distribution list, which I will distribute at periodic times to make sure everybody has a complete copy of who's what. But if they're just expressing opposition, I would just treat it as that. I wouldn't treat it as testimony as such, but just an expression of opposition. And then I would see how many there are. I wasn't really planning on like addressing them or noting them or individualizing them, to be honest.
Is there, what is the protocol for retaining any public commentary from public hearings? Do we record all public comment from all those public hearings?
Yeah, all public hearings are there's a full transcript and they become part of the formal record of the proceeding. In addition, we accept public comments in various forms, written or electronic, when we do ask for public comment, and those also I think have gone into the record. These emails may arguably be somewhat different from that, but any kind of formal public comment and certainly any public input hearing comments go into the record of the case.
Under the board's regulations, members of the public can provide written submissions at any time prior to or at any public hearing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why we've always just kind of lumped all of these types of communications in together as public input for purposes of, you know, keeping track of things.
I think that's okay for now. Let's keep track of them as public input, but certainly we need to keep track of them. And again, I don't envision that we would go through them one by one or, you know, respond to them in our order, other than to say, as Marcy said, that there were X number of individuals who sent in electronic comments in opposition to the...
I think that's right. If there's somebody that raises a specific issue, a different type of issue, maybe it's worth responding to. Somebody is saying there should be no change in rates because of COVID. The board may wish to respond to that generally, not on a person by person basis, but it's raising an issue. If it's a real issue, the board probably wants to at least acknowledge it.
I don't know if it's appropriate for me to say this at this point, but I think Stevens does a great job of responding to these people. His response is just perfect, which is acknowledge the receipt of their email and their concern, tell them that they have the option of becoming a participant and what that involves, and leaving up to them if they want to take it further. But I think you do a great job, Stephen, really, and I appreciate
it. Thanks, Marcy.
Yep. Thanks, Marcy.
Appreciate that. Wanted to do that with your bosses here. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Marcy. Okay, so with that, Marcy, I would turn to you then to give us a report on the procedural posture of the case to date and any other comments you want to make at this time?
Well, I'll just briefly say that the parties had a proposed schedule, which I returned to them because I had some concerns with it. And I assume that they're working to accommodate those concerns, which I think will produce a better product and that's in everybody's interest. I see the parties are undertaking discovery. And so far there have not been any discovery disputes that I've had to resolve, which is very good because I do want to let people know here that I would really like to do this case without having to make any decisions. I'd like to see myself as a facilitator more than having to resolve discovery disputes and things like that and coming up with a final recommendation. So to this point, I really have the utmost respect for Rod Afarab and for Andre, the way that they've been dealing with this. I think they've made a lot of I hope they've made a lot of progress. But at this point, we do not have a firm schedule. I think we can go ahead and kind of anticipate the pre-hearing conference being held on February 24th, but that seems an appropriate date, and that was in the original proposed schedule.
Yes.
But that's as far as I've really gotten with this.
And if we file on Tuesday as planned, the seven-day period that follows would mark the timeline for or deadline for participants to join the proceeding. And so the 23rd would be that date. And obviously that's why you set the 24th.
So you're still, I'm sorry, Mark, if I could interrupt, Marcy, you're still contemplating the filing on February 16th, Tuesday? Okay, and then the 120 days period begins to run from that date.
We are planning an on-time performance and on Tuesday, the 16th, we will file the formal notice.
I guess we'll find out next week, but in prior cases, there have been no substantive differences between the advance notice and the final filing. Can we hope?
There'll be some changes we have to note because the lead and copper rule, EPA rule change will impact the department over the next 3 or 4 years. And that impact has to be, is not reflected in cost of service. And one of the first set of interrogatories sort of touches on that. So Judge Chestnut, so just recognize we're working our way through that to avoid an issue to be presented to you. But nonetheless, those issues are there. And statement number two, which is Missy Labuda's testimony, will reflect the fact that the EPA proposed this change or has implemented a final change in its regs in mid-January, and that it has to be rolled out. The requirements have to be rolled out, and we have to implement changes within 3 years of the implementation date, which is January 15th. And so ramping up those costs and additional staff and monitoring and all the sorts of things that are required. We have to develop a lead service line inventory and replacement plan. We have to monitor schools and child care centers, providing pitcher filters or point of use devices. All of these things have associated costs and they're not reflected in cost of service. So that is an issue. We've just flagged it for now because we have to process how all these things will implement our revenue requirements for the future. But just be aware of that. And that's the major change. It'll be reflected in 2A in one of the questions that we've added, and also in statement 7A, which is the Black and Veatch testimony, which alludes to the fact there is no mechanism as of now to recover these costs. And we haven't got our arms around them, their magnitude, but we know they're large because it's a sea change in terms of that particular regulation. Okay. And monitoring schools and child care centers alone will be significant.
Okay, well, I don't want to get into arguing the case right now, but I just wanted to say it. So I don't know if that affects, and you'll have to talk. I mean, I'm more concerned from Ed's perspective at this point and whether he now needs to start over again.
We don't have any new numbers to offer, so he doesn't have to start again.
Okay,
we just have to alert you.
Yeah, no, so this is coming. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I appreciate it. I mainly wanted to make sure that the numbers that Ed was working with are the numbers that he can continue to work with.
And can I ask, Andre, it sounds like you've already identified where the changes would be. In the past, you've given kind of a short statement identifying where the changes are for purposes of the board's regulations. I think
yes, we will provide that.
Okay, just so we don't have to read everything all over again.
No, and we'll even give you an update sheet. We call it an errata, but it's not really an errata. It's an update or supplement, so that you can see the questions that change, and it's just some few discrete changes that signal that this major change in regulation will impact us in the future. And we have to get our arms around how much it will cost and how to recover those costs.
Okay, good. Okay, then, Marcy, so it does sound like you're looking at a February 24th pre-hearing. And then from then, we'll leave it up to you to take it from there. I can't speak for any other board members. My hope would be to be able to listen in or attend the public input hearings whenever they're scheduled. I would assume that you'd be still presiding over those if you're available. I was not planning to try to participate or attend the evidentiary hearings in this case on Zoom to try to listen in, but other board members are certainly free or to listen in or you know, participate in the public hearings and for that matter, the evidentiary hearings as well. I think we should just let Marcy know if we're going to be attending once you set the schedule. And again, my working assumption has been that these are all going to be virtual hearings, either this type of Zoom type hearing or a telephonic hearing, if that would work. But again, that's up to leave that up to you and the. And working with the participants, unless anyone, other board members or Dan have any comments on that.
What's the ETA on the schedule?
Right now, Judge Chestnut has asked us to, Rob and I, to talk about this, and I've taken it to the department at this point, the internal changes, and tried to work through what they would look like. I'm gonna pass it on to Rob, get his input. We talked about it or shared an email about it very briefly. And then we'll turn that back to you, Judge Chestnut, hopefully by, and Rob will have to help me with this, but by next week sometime.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Yeah, it's ambitious,
okay,
but we'll get it.
Okay, that comes out of your time, don't forget.
Okay. I noted that.
Hey, do any of the board members have any questions or for Marcy at this point? Does anyone else, any of the board members or Marcy or Ed have any other comments on the, I'm sorry, I did have another question. What, do we have a tentative filing date for the TAP rider?
It looks like March 15th, but let me get back to you when I've cleared that with the client. But that's my drop dead date. So we can get everything done by March 16th.
Okay.
And that anticipates a vanilla filing, incidentally, as opposed to anything that would require a lot of time to be devoted by the hearing officer or the board, other than the rate hearings that are going on at the same time.
Okay, does anybody else have any other questions or concerns about the rate proceeding, in particular, you know, any procedural issues or scheduling issues you want to raise at this time?
None here.
Okay. Anyone, I know there are a number of people either on on Zoom or on the phone, I would open it up at this time to see if there's anyone else on this call or at this public meeting who has any comments or questions for the board at this time. Okay. Hearing none, unless there's anything else, I think we should continue to, with our monthly meetings. Our next meeting is scheduled for March. March 10th. March 10th, Wednesday, March 10th. So let's keep that on our schedules if we can. And if we don't need a meeting, we can skip that. But let's keep that on. Let's keep these monthly meetings on our schedules in case. And certainly, Marcy, you can let me or Dan know if anything comes up that you need need anything from us. I do appreciate continuing to be on the service list, I guess, for, you know, for when testimony is filed and whatnot. So I think I'm still on your list, Marcy.
At this point, my distribution does include you and Stephen and Dan. But I have not included the other board members. I put them on a separate list. They'll only get like orders and the report. I didn't think you wanted scheduling emails and things like that. But if you do, let me know. I mean, but at this point, I have two distribution lists. One, as I indicated, just for those board members, and the other for the participants, including you, Sonny, Stephen, and Dan.
Okay. And I think maybe I can't speak for you, but I think the board members might also want copies of testimony when they're, you know, when the actual testimony is filed. And but we can talk about that. That'll be down the road. Any thoughts on that, Abby, Tony?
I'd like to get notice of when the testimony is filed. Okay.
And it will be on the website, I assume.
Yep. Yeah.
That's true. Okay. But it's, or I can let people know, actually, that I can do that too. I think the key documents will, in, you know, are the, it's not the, all the discovery and whatnot, but it's the actual filing of a written testimony and the briefs of the parties. And if people are interested, the transcripts. And I know that Marcy will be working with the participants and trying to make this run as smoothly as possible. In these trying times. Okay. Anything else for the members of the board? Okay. Dan, could you give me a quick call when this meeting's over? Do you have a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay. You have my number there? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Abby? Second?
Okay.
Tony, second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, well, thank you very much again, and good luck as the proceeding progresses. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thanks all. Take care.
Thanks, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care,
bye.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.